About something I did on yesterday's lesson, I want to take a look at Ephesians chapter 6, because you got to get this. Where we're at right now in this study, we are in the mystery of iniquity. We're showing you what the mother is doing today. In Ephesians chapter 6, look with me at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the tricks, the bewitching, the spell, the wiles, the trickery of the devil. Satan operates today through the mother in the realm of wiles. Tricks in what, though? Tricks when it comes to doctrine. Now listen closely. What the mother is doing today is tricking people with doctrine, and the most dangerous doctrine out there is to be biblical, right? Like, in other words, it's in the Bible, but you are not rightly dividing the word of truth. You're taking Bible truths and putting them in wrong time periods. That is what the mother supremely does today when it comes to doctrine. If you'd look at verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not against all the dolt, blockhead, goofy so-called preachers out there, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The mother is operating today by tricking people when it comes to Bible doctrine. She puts out her own Bibles, and then even the people with King James Bibles, they then are fooled into believing doctrine that has nothing to do with today. Doctrine that is not proper for today. Now, I read the whole Bible, cover to cover, every month. Genesis to Revelation. I read through Romans through Revelation, continuously looping around, and at the same time I'm reading Genesis 4 to Revelation. So I finish the entire Bible once a month, but I read it following God's establishment commandment. And I'm telling you, I have seen the most dangerous doctrines ever since I've been reading, since 1996, when it comes to taking Bible doctrine and telling people it's for them today. And that is what the mother does in her wiles. So you mark it down. The most dangerous doctrine out there is the mother taking the Bible and telling you, see that truth? It's for you today. You see that truth? It should be applied in your life today, where the truth that they're trying to get you to swallow, okay, is from another time period and does not work today. That is the greatest trick the mother uses, not rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay? You got to understand that it's in the realm of wiles. All right, Colossians chapter 2. Let's move on now and gather more evidence. Colossians chapter 2, let's look at verse 8. Colossians chapter 2, look at verse 8. Beware, lest any man spoil you. Notice, man. It's a man's going to come along. And it's going to be a minister of the mother. Lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Philosophy, the wisdom of men. And vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So you remember that. That is what the mother, this is everything you're seeing from Romans on, even in the book of Acts, you see how the mother has adjusted to produce the mystery of iniquity today. And this is what she does big time. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. That is why I fight so hard. As the Apostle Paul says, I have fought a good fight. And we all need to do that. When it comes to sound doctrine and words out of people's mouths, don't ever settle for, well, it was pretty close. No, the words better match the book. And I'm not interested in men's opinions, the traditions of men's, when they go contrary to this great book. Okay? That's very important. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, look at verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 1, 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Now, idols, the Thessalonians were involved in. But understand something. Covetousness, Colossians says, is idolatry. Covetousness. What you desire today becomes idolatry if it is not what God Almighty tells you as a believer you should be desiring. It is that simple. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verse 14. 1 Thessalonians 2, look at verse 14. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. God's favored people of time past, he still is going to finish their program and go back to dealing with the nation of Israel. But mark it down, when it comes to the nation of Israel today, as a nation, God's wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. The uttermost. So don't be sitting there thinking you're going to go to the nation of Israel today and find any truth. They are blind in part until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Okay, look at verse 17. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but look at this, but Satan hindered us. Notice, in the lifetime of Paul, Satan hindered him from getting to the believers. Listen, the same thing happens today. And you better believe it, that even through the technology we have today of getting these lessons out to all of you, this is the third time in 1 year that I've attempted internet ministry. The third time. Now this time, it's not been without its problems. But we're just getting started. We're in milk truth still when it comes to Romans. And look at all the problems that happen. It's just unbelievable. It's not unbelievable to me. Alright. Okay, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we're going to get in some real good stuff here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, right here, you are going to see the peak of what the mother so desires out of her program. This is what the mother is going to bring to a climax in her program. Watch it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians 2, 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now the Apostle Paul is talking about the day of Christ. This is his second coming to the earth. Now understand something. For all you people out there who think you're getting raptured out 7 years prior to the second coming, there's something wrong with you. You're not reading the scriptures. The Apostle Paul himself says, we are going to be what you call the rapture. God calls just being caught up to meet the Lord in the air. It happens at the last trump. The last trump. Okay? There's seven trumpets that sound in the book of the Revelation, which brings you to the middle of the trib. When the seventh trumpet begins to sound, you're in the middle of the trib. All right? There's an eighth trumpet, and that sounds in Matthew chapter 24. So understand something. All you people who think you're getting raptured out so you can avoid the tribulation, you're wrong. You don't understand things. You don't understand right division. So, and if that doesn't, I mean, there's a whole video on it here on the YouTube channel. Just go listen to it. Okay, all the details are there. You know, sometimes you get to the point where you're tired of trying to convince people. In other words, you're just going to say it. And you know what's going to happen. Okay, look at verse 3 of 2 Thessalonians 2. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. The falling away that takes place is amongst believers. Real believers who start going into the, when the tribulation begins, they're going to fall away. And the number one reason they fall away, what do you think it is? Oh my gosh, my pastor told me I was going to be raptured out before the book of the Revelation became living right in front of my own eyeballs, and I am left behind, as a stupid heathen TV series taught you. You see? So when all of you are hanging around here during the tribulation, and you haven't been raptured out, you're going to fall, and you're going to fall because you were never established in the faith properly. And so that doctrine, you can say, oh, my pastor must be wrong. And he was. And that's what you get for following a man. So, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. We've already discussed this. Judas Iscariot is the son of perdition in John 17, and the son of perdition is named right here. That's the only two times in the Bible the son of perdition is mentioned. Notice, they're falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. He is revealed as the man of sin. Now, when the Antichrist starts in the tribulation, he's not revealed as the man of sin. He's the greatest thing since sliced bread. Look at verse 4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now there is the absolute total climax of the mother's program. You see that? She puts her man, Judas Iscariot, in the temple, a Jerusalem temple here. This is a Jewish temple, saying that he is God. He's going to sit in the temple of God. He's going to show himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Now watch closely, okay? Don't worry about what you believed before. Start listening to the scriptures alone. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. And for everyone is taught, well, you see, when the Holy Spirit is here inside the believers, and then when the Holy Spirit leaves the earth in the rapture, and then all this stuff can happen. You guys are delusional. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Notice, in the lifetime of Paul, the mystery of iniquity was working already. It has been going almost 2,000 years since Paul wrote this, and it has deceived billions upon billions. Satan's program today that he operates through the mother, that's why it's called Mystery Babylon, it culminates in, but it's a mystery program, it's a secret program. Mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Alright, and that is not the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed. Do you understand that? The wicked here being revealed, the Antichrist is in the temple showing himself that he is God. He's going to be revealed as what? Capital W, wicked. When does that happen? Well, the goofy Antichrist is going to have everybody convinced on the planet that what's coming out of heaven is Satan himself. When in reality, the person coming back out of heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ on that white horse. And even though there's 200 million people gathered in what Ezekiel calls multitudes, not Ezekiel, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. Okay? Armageddon, it's called. When they're gathered there, they think they're fighting against the devil. Because the devil's man, the Antichrist, on the earth in the temple has them convinced that the Lord Jesus Christ is the devil. It's completely opposite. And then when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and smites them with the words out of his mouth, that sharp sword that proceedeth out of his mouth, then he's going to be revealed on the earth that he's the wicked one. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. Now notice the Antichrist coming with all power and signs and lying wonders. So it is totally possible, and it will happen, that the mother produces the Antichrist as Satan does it. It's the working of Satan through the mother. What? With all power and signs and lying wonders. All power. There will be miraculous signs. There will be lying wonders. You see that? And, verse 10, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Now, notice verse 10. I'm not going to teach all the doctrine as if we're going. I'm just trying to pull out some things specific to the mother. But notice verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Notice, unrighteousness is sin. And sin is always purposefully linked together with deceivableness. Do you notice how this lesson is very distinct? I'm just trying to teach you and show you. It's just natural. I don't plan it. I just come here and teach. And there's certain things you teach that are just, I want you to see what it's saying. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Do you got that? Unrighteousness, you're always deceived if you're sinning. In them that perish. Why? Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, you think it's bad enough what Satan does to you? And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. You want to reject the truth of the King James Bible right now? God's going to send strong delusion unto you that you should believe a lie. Look at all of this deception and lying going on here, and delusion. Why does God do that? Verse 12. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The reason people do not believe the truth is because they take pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Notice, the Apostle Paul says there are some traditions. But the traditions of men in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that the false religious system that the mother runs brings up, those traditions are contrary to the Word of God. For example, if we start a tradition that our first annual fellowship meeting of the Scriptures Alone Bible School Fellowship will be in 2012, if we have a tradition that every year we're going to do it at that same time, what is that? That's good. Because we're coming together for the purpose of edification and learning the Word of God and edifying and encouraging one another as family members in God's household. That's a good tradition because the Scriptures say you should do that. All right. Okay. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. As I go through Paul's epistles here, it's just so distinct and clear. 1 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, so no doubt, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. That means they were in the faith. These are believers. They were in the faith. These were people who understood God's establishment commandment. These are the real McCoy believers. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You see that? Doctrines of devils. Are y'all getting this? I don't even know why I'm teaching this way tonight. I mean, in the sense of very slow and very distinctively. I came up here like I always do to teach it, and I don't ever try to drum up emotion and be phony or fake. But I am as deadly serious as I have ever been in my life talking to all of you now. I want you all to see it. And perhaps that's why the Lord in me is just say, calm down and just tell it to them. Doctrines of devils. Satan operates today through the mother in wiles. These doctrines of devils, these seducing spirits, see that small s? That's words and breath out of his ministers, the mother's ministers. through doctrine. The issue today is Satan has his teachings from the Bible, God has his teachings from the Bible. Who are you going to follow? Do you see that? How are you going to know which ones are right? Because you have to be established in the faith is the only way you're going to know. That is it. There's no other way to know. All right. Doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats. Do you know any false religious system today that forbids their teachers to marry and commands them to abstain from meats? That's Roman Catholicism right there to the T, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. There is so much there, and it is clear as a bell it is happening. The mother today has totally engulfed the entire planet. That is every religious system out there, whether it be Roman Catholicism or so-called Protestants, anything else, Muslims, Buddha, all of it. It's all the same. They're going to wind you up in the same hellfire, great white throne, lake of fire, through her doctrines of devils, through the wile she tricks you with. People today, this is such a sad age. We have this great book in front of us in completed form, perfect. And yet we live in an age where there are so much false teaching, so many blockheaded so-called teachers out there that people are more ignorant today of what God is really doing today than they have ever been in the history of mankind. And there is no excuse for it because we have the completed Bible right here. Okay? 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. Look at verse 1. Now, a lot of people are going to read this passage and say, oh, he's talking about unsaved people. No, it's not. This passage in 2 Timothy 3 is not talking about unsaved people. It's talking about what happens in the real church of God. This is talking about believers. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. That's dangerous. Do you know why perilous times shall come? They are future from when Paul wrote it. Because of verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. This is talking about believers because guess what? Unsaved people have always been this. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. What? That's always been them, right? That's always been unsaved people. So you can't sit there and say this. Verse 1 says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers. That's future from where Paul wrote it. Well, guess what? This is the church. Are you all getting this? All these so-called people out there, oh, everybody's a believer. Hi, oh, love you all. This, the church becomes like this, and it is happening right now. You better treasure the few real believers that we fellowship with as for what they are. And listen, all of you believers who are fellowshipping, all of the ones here in our fellowship, understand something. Pay attention because this can happen to you through the doctrines of Satan out there and this mother's program. Look at this is talking about what happens to the church. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. When can an unsaved person be holy? They can't. So he's talking about believers become this way. Look at this. Without natural affection, they turn into sodomites, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Someone comes along and teaches truth and does it right, they despise them. Traitors, heady, high-minded. Look at this. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Don't say this passage is talking about unsaved people. How can any unsaved person be a lover of God? They can't. Because you love them, you keep his commandments. This is not talking about unsaved people. Paul says this shall happen, for men shall be. It was future from when Paul wrote, and unsaved people have always done this. This is talking about believers, traitors, heady, high-minded, they think who they are. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. There you go. It's not talking about unsaved people. Unsaved people don't walk around having a form of godliness. This is talking about believers, professional church players right here, having a form of godliness. Oh, they play church real good. Makes me sick. I have gone to these so-called Baptist churches, non-denominational churches, every type of church you can imagine denomination-wise, and you sit there and they're all dressed up nice and they greet you and they act like they love you and they care so much for you. Start opening your mouth about the Bible and sound doctrine and you'll see they don't even want you there. You see that? All the phoniness that took place at WSLM when I was on the radio and how they said how much, oh, they liked it so much and how Greg and Becky White liked the truth so much I was teaching. It wasn't even, they couldn't even make it 55 lessons. 55 lessons. And they're Baptist and they go to the Baptist church and everything is fine. And they want to blame me? No, they're professional church players like everybody else around this stupid little goofy town. It's pathetic. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. There is no power in them because it is not really the life of Jesus Christ living through flesh, because the only people on this planet that manifest the real life of Jesus Christ living through their flesh are the ones who are established in the faith. You see that? You have to be established in the faith. You have to follow God's establishment commandment so that that takes place, so that the real life of Christ lives through your flesh. But no. They just read the Bible and they take their Bibles and they say, turn your Bibles, the Lord led this message on my heart today. And some goofy, dope, blockhead preacher stands up there and he starts teaching you people and you don't know the first thing about anything. You see that? That's what it is, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Look at this. From such, turn away. You find professional church players, don't join them and try to fix them. Stand and preach truth and let them come to the truth. You got it? For of this sort are they which creep into houses. That's why you see, by the way, you see the Apostle Paul always departing away from them. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, many lusts. Look at verse 7. Ever learning. They're ever learning. They sit there, take your Bibles, and I'm going to talk to you today in the Gospel of John about 3 points on how you should love your husband or love your wife. And here's 3 things a family should know. Here's this ism and this schism. Let me give you all the outlines of my sermon. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You see what the mother has all of you fooled? These are believers. Chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, you mark it down as the real church. The real church. This happens to real believers. I'm talking people who are really saved. Real saved people. They're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. What truth? What truth? The truth that God Almighty has an eternal purpose of what God Almighty is doing today. Not what your church wants to do or your agendas. The scriptures alone teach truth. And what that means is God has his son's life in you and he desires his son's life to live through you. And the only way that happens is when you read the Bible following his establishment commandment. Do you get this? How important this is? That's the truth. They're ever learning. They can know verses out the butt, but they don't have them. They don't understand at all how to apply sound doctrine just because you know Bible verses. That makes you into a professional church player who can spew out Bible verses. I know Bible verses, okay? Correctly. Do you see the difference? One type of learning of the scriptures by following God's establishment commandment produces the life of Christ. Their way of, well, start in John, start here, start in Matthew, just do this and pray and read the Bible and do this, that produces church players. That produces where people who know Bible verses, but it really doesn't work in the details of life, and you never see the life of Christ. How do you know that? Just start talking to them about sound doctrine, and you'll see their flesh. It really comes out then. Look at verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You see what happens to those so-called Bible teachers? They're evil men and they're seducers. It's these seducing spirits, these doctrines of devils that the mother produces. Listen, I'm not talking about unsaved people out here, okay? I'm talking about saved people. Do you understand? In the church of the living God, this is taking place. Get that through your heads, who I'm talking about. The mother has infiltrated the real church. And real believers are actually promoting the mother's doctrines. Real believers. They're deceived. They continue to be deceived. And they get worse and worse, deceiving their listeners. You know, sometimes I really wonder if anybody's getting this to the degree that God Almighty's telling it. Do you understand what I just said? 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God. Look at Paul's instructions to a real Bible teacher. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. There you go. Preach the word, not the opinions of men. Be instant, in season, out of season. You see that? Anytime you should be able to talk about this book if you're a preacher. He's giving instructions here to preachers here, Bible teachers. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and what? Doctrine, sound Bible doctrine. For the time will come, look at verse 3. For the time will come, Paul says, and I'm telling you here as a son of the Most High God and servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the time has come. It's right now. When Paul wrote this, it was future. It's no longer future. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, healthy, wholesome doctrine. You see that? Sound doctrine. Sound doctrine comes about when you follow God's establishment commandment. I'm going to keep saying it till it sinks in. Do you understand that? Sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. That is a direct reference to two things. One, they turn away their ears from the truth, and in the English language, that's the King James Bible, and they turn their ears unto fables. That's all the other Bibles. That's all they are, is satanic counterfeit fables. And it also happens in doctrine. They come up with all this doctrines of men, traditions of men, doctrines of devils. You see, that what I'm trying to get you to see in this lesson today, the most important thing, is that Satan and the mother is operating supremely out of the pulpits of churches today. It is in the realm of false teaching is what's getting y'all. Some of you who are listening to this right now, when you first met me via the phone, via email, or in person, you thought you were saved. And now, after learning the scriptures correctly, you realized you weren't. Guess what? Had you died, you would have been in hellfire, and the whole way, just before you died, you're thinking, I'm saved, and you would have been burning in hell. That's your testimonies. Everybody better start waking up. Shall be turned unto fables. Verse 14, in the same chapter, 2 Timothy 4, look at verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, beware of him, for he hath greatly withstood our words. There's evil people out there. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, look at verse 10. You know what? It's physically makes me ill right now internally to teach the stuff I taught in this lesson right now about real believers. Do you understand? Listen, I used to train police dogs for a living, and I used to train them correctly, and then I would, you know, the treat trainers would come along and they'd say, no, you got to use a treat to teach your little doggy and little poochie. I'd argue with them, And of course, they were nothing. They never even made a living doing it. They were just out, these guys playing dog trainer. I would, you know, get into it. I never could get into it too much because it wasn't eternal. Let me tell you something. What I'm talking to you about is doctrines that have put billions of souls in hellfire in this age, in the mystery of iniquity, Satan's time, and in the dispensation of God's grace. This stuff is so serious because there's people you know. Perhaps you yourself have been deceived by the mother. You have learned that you yourself were tricked. Be so happy and so thankful to God that this book has now freed you from them shackles. And would you then please go help others and free them and help them? Titus chapter 1, verse 10. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake, for money reasons. They subvert whole houses, entire homes. That's the mother, father, and children. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Let me just focus on one commandment of man. God Almighty gives a commandment in his book in Romans 16, 25 and 26 that tells you how to be established in the faith. Any commandment of man, or direction of man, or teaching of man, or doctrines of devils, or seducing spirits of Satan that goes against that God's establishment commandment, I am trying to get you to see something. When you get saved, you have to be established in the faith. There's only one way to be established in the faith, and that is to follow God's establishment commandment. Okay? If you don't follow God's establishment commandment, you will never be established in the faith. Are you understanding this? You will never see the life of Christ live through your flesh. The chances are extremely great, because you never did get established in the faith then, that your newfound real faith of belief in Jesus and faith in his blood, as the mother then works on you then over time, very subtly, very craftily, very bewitchingly, like the Galatians, will cause you to then believe another gospel. And that all happens because you never got established in the faith. You see that? This is critical. There is nothing. You need to grow properly after you're saved. That's why Paul told the Thessalonians, right after they were saved, he sent Timotheus to them so that they would get established in the faith and so they would not be moved. Do you understand how important what I'm telling you is? That commandment on how to be established in the faith, why do you think that if you Google it, Google God's establishment commandment, you will find it nowhere. That's why so many people accuse me, well, Martin Richling, you're making it up. No, I'm not. You'll find it in our school. I'm not making it up. Some people get kind of close. Some believers out there say Romans 16, 25 through 26 is Paul's design for the edification of the believer. That's true. But it's so weak and anemic, that's why it doesn't stick. And they don't even teach the Bible then that way. They'll go Romans, they'll jump all over here. Why don't you teach it if you believe that? If that's Paul's design for the edification of a believer, teach Romans through Revelation, then Genesis up to Romans, if that's what you believe. You see? But they don't. This stuff is so serious. And this is our 37th lesson, and I'm like so different teaching it now internally. Because we're right here and now in the heart of Paul's epistles, and I'm trying to get all of you to see something. Satan and the mother are operating today in the realm of false doctrine. They take Bibles and teach you falsely. That is what the mother's doing from pulpits. And it's so easy to spot. It's so easy to figure out if you would just follow the scriptures alone and get established in the faith. Okay. Hebrews chapter 2. What time is it? Hebrews chapter 2. We leave. We go now into the epistles that are going to be applicable during the seven-year tribulation. Hebrews of Revelation. Doctrinally, they're activated. There's a lot of things and truths in there that are applicable today. There's a lot of things in there that will be applicable doctrinally during the seven-year trip. That's why you start from Hebrews on, and all epistles say it's in the last time, the last days, the last time. We're here. There you go. Hebrews chapter 2. Look at verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them, save them, who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You see that? Satan and the mother work through fear of death, and they make it all their lifetime subject to bondage. That's what Roman Catholicism is. Their whole lifetime. I know I was a Roman Catholic for years. I went to Mass every day. My whole lifetime I was subject to their bondage because I feared death. I don't fear it no more. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 18. 1 Peter 1:18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Ha! Says it all, doesn't it? 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many, 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 many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. 2 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 3. 2 Peter 3, 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. 1 John chapter 2. I mean, these verses, if you don't understand that the Bible means what it says and says what it means by now, something's wrong with you. 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 15. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. This is what the mother has produced in this planet since Genesis. Listen, this world started, everything was good. Everything was very good in Genesis 1 and 2 when God did it. And the mother came along, and look at verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. That's the mother's production on this planet. Look at verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. You see, the book kicks in doctrinally during the trib. It is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. The separation of believers from the false ones. Verse 22. Who is a liar, but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Notice what it goes back to in the trib. People are going to be coming along saying Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh. And in reality, he did. 1 John chapter 4, look at verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. That's the breath out of people's mouth. But try the spirits whether they are of God. And the only way to try them is to understand the Bible. You got to understand the Bible correctly, understand what it means to rightly divide. You need to be established in the faith or you'll be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. How else are you going to try the spirits and test them whether that's right? You can't do it unless you're established. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that breath out of someone's mouth that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. What's to expound? Look at the last verse of 1 John. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. It make a difference then in that trip when that beast makes that image, how that image of the beast speaks. 2 John, look at verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Notice how it's going to be very applicable then. In the tribulation, that's going to be the thing. People are going to be saying, Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh. No one's going to deny that Jesus, no one will deny that Jesus of Nazareth came in the flesh. That's not the issue. Jesus Christ never came in the flesh. The Christ, the Messiah, has never come in the flesh. You see, they're not going to deny that Jesus of Nazareth came, but that Jesus of Nazareth was not the Christ. That's the issue. Okay. All right. Now, you know what? I'm going to stop there because we come now to the book of Revelation. And Lord willing, we'll have some to finish up with in the book of the Revelation. And the next, probably take a couple of lessons, maybe three. But definitely, most surely, and Lord willing, if I live, we'll finish this week. Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I want you to understand something that is so important. Because we have now left the doctrine of what's happening today. You notice what's happened? All of that stuff in the Old Testament. And before we go forward and finish out this series of messages in Revelation, don't forget the whole point of all of these lessons thus far and the point of this series. The mother, today, what is she doing today? We've seen what she did all through the Old Testament. You know what she's doing today? She's operating in a bunch of wiles, in doctrine. She operates today right out of the mouths of preachers and teachers. She is trying to trick you through false doctrine, not sound Bible doctrine, but Bible doctrine. You see, it's not good enough to say it's in the Bible. You see what I mean? You have to know and be established in the faith so that you rightly divide the word of truth, which means to take Bible truths and put them in their correct time periods. 2 Timothy 2:15 through 18 says that. You see that Hymenaeus and Philetus, they said the resurrection was past already. They wrongly divided the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth is taking Bible truths and putting them in the right time period, because those heretics said the resurrection was past when in reality the resurrection was future. I've been over that already. So today, the mother, the series probably have two more lessons, maybe three, two for sure. The mother is operating today by teaching you out of wrong Bibles from wrong preachers who aren't established. And you know how